human being on the face of this planet is a beloved child of God made in His image. When we see somebody on the street, we're not looking at some street rat or whatever. We're looking at someone that God loves. And when we do anything for those people who are in need, we're doing them for God Himself.
This is season 8 of Guerrilla Christianity. My name is Pastor Brett Walker, and I'd like to thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace from an evangelical Methodist point of view. God's holy word is central to all we believe, so let's get into God's word right now.
Please remain standing for the reading of God's holy word. This is the gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 25. And verses 31 through 46. Let us hear the word of the Lord for us today. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on his left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. May God pour out His rich blessing upon this, the reading of His holy word. You may be seated. Let us pray. Father, as we observe the kingdom of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for your Holy Spirit to guide us, to instruct us, and to transform our hearts so that we may be your good and faithful servants, all to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we're bringing to a close our very short series called There Is Now. I know it's a very weird title for the series, I admit, but it reflects this, that back in Advent of last year, we asked the question, are we there yet? Like children sitting in the back seat on a long trip, are we there yet? And now we seek to answer the question, there is now. The kingdom of heaven is upon us. These parables that we are reading in Matthew chapter 25 have been pointing to what the kingdom of heaven is like. In fact, that is exactly what Jesus says at the beginning of the other two parables that we have read so far. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto. For the kingdom of heaven is as. You know, so He's trying to describe what the kingdom of heaven is like for His disciples. And again, this is in the middle of the Olivet Discourse, which is a concentrated teaching that Jesus is giving to his disciples, not to the general public, not to the people gathered as he did for the Sermon on the Mount. But this is a very concentrated teaching on what the kingdom of heaven is like, and also on what is coming at the end of all things. So he describes the kingdom of heaven like this. He describes it as these 10 bridesmaids. Five are foolish and five are wise. The wise ones take extra oil with them. They go to wait and for the return of the bridegroom. And the foolish ones did not take any extra oil with them. They have their lamps. They're all ready, you know. They become sleepy because they're waiting a long time. They fall asleep. And then at midnight, there's a cry. The bridegroom has come. They get up. They trim their lamps. Now the ones who had the oil had extra oil. They filled their lamps and they're ready to go inside. They go inside to the wedding feast. But the ones who had no oil had to go and get more oil in the middle of the night, you know, when it's not convenient for anybody. Certainly the stores aren't, there's no 24-hour 7-Eleven with the oil, right? Well, when they return, the bridegroom says, I don't even know you. I don't even know you. It's a sad thing. But what Jesus was saying was that we need to be prepared for his coming at all times. And to do that, we need to be filled with the Spirit. Remember, oil represents Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit. How are we filled with the Spirit? By gathering together and singing praise to God. There's a Spirit that is upon us when we gather in a body. We can be a part of the body of Christ, but we can't be a part of the body of Christ if we are apart from the body of Christ. And so we gather together to sing songs of praise and to pray and to uphold each other. There it is, a Spirit. The Spirit of God is with us in this place. And that's how we are to stay prepared. The next story that he tells is a parable about a wealthy man who goes away and he entrusts a lot of money to his servants. And to his servants, he gives each according to their own ability. And the one he gave the least to was so afraid of his master that he went and he buried the money that he gave him. Now, the sin is not in taking what the master gave him and using it for his own selfish gain, but the sin is in not using what his master gave him at all. And so two servants are faithful. They immediately go out and they double their master's money. They're building the kingdom. The one other comes back and he says, I knew you were a hard man and impossible to serve, and so I hid the money. Here it is, all of it in full. Well, he didn't embezzle it, he didn't spend it, but he didn't do anything with it. And he returned it to him dirty and tarnished. And so we're like that. God gives us certain abilities and gifts to grow his kingdom. Not for our own sake and not to be neglected, but that we use them to glorify him and to build the kingdom here on earth. Now, those two are parables. What we read today is not a parable. It's not a parable because he's not saying what the kingdom of heaven will be like. He's saying in verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. He's talking about something that is going to happen. He's not talking about something that happened in the past. He's not giving us a story. Some people have taken this and called it the parable of the sheep and goats, but it's really not a parable about sheep and goats. In fact, it's really not about sheep and goats at all. He uses a simile of sheep and goats and a shepherd to describe how the king, at the end of all things, will divide the peoples. Okay? He says, before him shall be gathered all nations, everybody, all the goyim, all the Gentiles will be gathered. Everybody will be gathered before. Why? Because we are his people. Because we are made in his image. Because we are made by his hand. So we belong to him, and we will all be gathered in front of him. And he shall, then it says, separate them one from another. He uses a simile, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And that is the last we hear about sheep and goats. That's it. Okay? He uses that simile because he's talking to a group of people who understand what it means when a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. Shepherds in his time would intermingle the sheep and the goats and pasture them together. Okay, so you don't have two flocks, you have one big flock. But you have to divide them out at times because when it's time to shear the sheep, when it's time to milk the goats, you're not going to milk the sheep and shear the goats. So you bring the goats off to one side and the sheep off to the other. And that's what he's doing here. He's just saying that he's going to divide them up. Now notice this too. He gathers the nations. But who does he divide? He says, he shall separate them one from another. Now the word there is a word that indicates the people. So he's gathering the nations before him, but he's separating people, individuals. He's separating individuals, meaning there's going to be people from each nation that are going to be separated into the two groups. It's not the nations that he's separating, it's the people themselves. Why does he separate them? Okay. He says, the king shall say to them on his right hand. First of all, again, he's not talking about a shepherd, right? It's not a parable. He's not talking about a shepherd. He's talking about the king. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, he shall sit upon the throne of his glory. Then the king shall say to them on his right hand. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the Son of Man. He's talking about himself. He is the king. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. All nations will be gathered to him, and he will separate the people. And he'll have some on his right hand and some on his left. And when he says to them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Now there is an inherent danger to reading this particular passage. And the danger lies in the temptation to turn this into a list of six things that we all as Christians must do. This is not a to-do list. This is not a checklist that we have to go down. Oh, yep, I did that. I did that. I haven't done that yet. I got to get on that one. No, it's not that at all. In fact, think about the reaction of the people, who he describes as the righteous. Verse 37, then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick or in prison and came unto thee? They're saying, when did we do those things? You're telling us we did them. What are you even talking about? We don't even know what you're talking about. When did we do those things? We had no idea. And that's the heart of the issue. We're going to circle back to that. Put a pin in it, because we're going to come back to it. The king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And when we serve the people of God, we are serving God himself. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, you know, you see a beggar on the street and you offer him money or food or even shelter or clothing or something out of the goodness of your heart, not out of obligation or duty, not with any fanfare, not with a press there taking pictures. Hey, look at this photo opportunity. Da-da-da-da-da. Have a nice life. But just to serve someone who is in need, to take care of them when they can't take care of themselves. Understanding that every human being on the face of this planet is a beloved child of God made in His image. When we see somebody on the street, we're not looking at some street rat or whatever. We're looking at someone that God loves. And when we do anything for those people who are in need, we're doing them for God Himself. I like how the writer of Hebrews puts it in Hebrews chapter 13 in verse 2. Says, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." I love that. I love the thought of, you know, if I'm doing good for someone, again, not out of obligation, not out of duty, not out of compulsion, but just because the love that I have in my heart is so great that I can't hold it all to myself and I have to share it with someone else. And that is really only possible in one condition. I'm going to get to that in just a second. You know, I feel like I'm up here going, but wait, there's more. But wait, there is more. Let's get to the goats. They're not goats. I mean, I say goats. See, I still think of this as a parable too, but it's really not. "Then shall he say unto them on his left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then he shall answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to the one of the least of these, ye did it not to me." You neglect my people, you're neglecting me. That's what he's saying. Now, again, this is not a checklist. This is not a to-do list. This is not something that we have to do. What is the difference? What is the thing that sets the people on his right hand apart from the people on his left? It's this. Think about their response. Both of them said the same thing. When did this happen? Because we didn't notice it. The righteous said, "When did we do all those things for you? We had no idea." And he says, "You did it for people, you did it for me." Okay? The people on his left hand say, "When did we not do those things? When did we see you in need and not do anything?" He said, "You didn't do it for my people. You didn't do it for me." This is the key. It's because they didn't see it. Because when we are born again, when we are reborn in the Spirit, God gives us a new heart with new desires. And all of a sudden, we are no longer that selfish, inward-looking person that we were before we came to Christ. There's a transformation that happens. You see, when we are born in sin with selfish desires, and our only thinking is for this person right here. I'm the king of my own universe. And if you doubt that that is true, I would invite you to look at any two-year-old and tell me, do they have to be taught not to share? Do they have to be taught to lie, to be disobedient? No, because the only thing that they're thinking about is themselves. And we continue in that trend for all of our lives until something earth-shattering happens in our life, and that is this. We repent of our sin. We are broken. We realize what we have done against our God. We repent of our sin, and we trust in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. And at that moment, we get a new heart, a new outlook on life. And all of a sudden, we are filled with God's Spirit, and we are filled with agape love. Agape is a Greek word that is only used in the New Testament to describe an outward, selfless, sacrificial giving without expecting anything in return. Love. The kind of love that God had for us. The kind of love we can only have for each other when we have been reborn in the Spirit. Jesus told Nicodemus that you must be born of the Spirit. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And we have to be born again. Being born again isn't just something that we say we are. We either are or we aren't. And you can tell that you are because your desires are no longer for just yourself, but for everybody around you. You want to take care of people in need. You want to seek the lost. You want to share your faith with others so that they won't perish. You know? So that's the difference between these two groups. The righteous did these acts of kindness without even thinking about it because it was part of who they were, because it was their agape love that drove them to do those things. And they weren't even thinking about it. It was as natural for them as breathing. On the other hand, the people on his left, they were blind. They could not possibly see people in need if they tried because they were selfish. They were only thinking about themselves. Instead of thinking of ourselves always, we are reborn. We are given a new heart with new desires. And now we are thinking about everyone around us. And that's the difference. That's the state of a regenerate heart. When all we think about is you see someone in need and it's an automatic knee-jerk reaction to go and do something for them and help them because they're in need. Not because you want to be seen, not because you think you're going to get some accolades, not because of any kind of quid pro quo, but just because it's something that needs to be done. Because you have that agape love in you. When we are reborn, when we are regenerated, we're brand new. We're infants in Christ. And just as infants need to learn how to live, how to do things on their own, we need to read the instruction manual. Now, I know the guys in this room, you know, first thing we do when we get like a piece of furniture from IKEA is just chuck the book. We don't need that, right? That's why I'm not allowed to build furniture in our house, okay? Because I don't read the instructions. My wife reads the instructions, okay? And so everything that she builds, we still have it. Everything that I've built has probably been in the scrap heap for a while because it was crooked and everything else. The point is this. We need to read the instructions for living. And we find those instructions here in God's word. He left us a testimony. This is how we are to live, what we are to do. You know, again, it's not some kind of checklist that we need to make sure that we do all the things that are in here and don't do the things that God says don't do those things. If we are born again, all those things come naturally. Why? Because of the love that we have for God and for our neighbor. And so when we have that love, when we've been regenerated, when we've been reborn, then All those things just come naturally. And then we'll be there with the Lord going, when did we do those things? I don't remember. Why? Because you just did them. There was a need. You did it. You walked away. You met the need. You know? And that's how we are to be. I love how this church gathers things for those in need. You know, for the pantry and for the Cornerstone Women's Resource Center and Toys for Tots and all these different things. People give from their hearts, you know. Nobody comes in with fanfare. Look at what I'm doing. Pop right in the box, you know. But we give from our hearts because that's who we are in Christ. And that's the difference. The point of this teaching today is not to give you a to-do list of things to check off before Christ returns. That's not the point. And in fact, it is counter to the point itself that when we are in Christ, we do all these things naturally without giving them a second thought. The person who is born again gives no thought to the flesh, but puts others before themselves. That is the agape love that God shows us on the cross. That Christ, as Paul writes in his letter to the Philippians, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And you will find no greater example of agape love than that. That he went and died for people who hated him. Because God showed his love in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So, as we observe Christ the King Sunday and as we enter into Advent, let us prepare our hearts and minds to receive Christ our King. Jesus told Nicodemus that unless we are born again, born of water and the Spirit, we cannot see the kingdom of heaven. When we repent of our sins and trust completely in Jesus for our forgiveness, he gives us a new heart with new desires, and our focus shifts from inward to outward, from self to others. It is natural for the reborn to do these things, these acts of loving kindness for others, as it is to breathe in and out. If we avoid doing things for others or consider it a duty, if we roll our eyes and look for excuses to get out of taking care of others, then perhaps we are still in that unregenerate state. It's not about being obedient to a list of rules. It's about being a subject in the kingdom of Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, lest we begin to think that we have to do these things, we pray, Lord, for your Spirit to be upon us, to show us, to open our eyes to see the need in our community and in our world, that we might meet it, that we can go and be your hands and feet. Not that you need us, not that you can't accomplish these things on your own, but that when we are gathered under the auspices of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, under his reign and head, then we will have a new desire to serve the people that you love, which is everybody. We are all made in your image. We are all loved by you. We pray also for those who have not given their lives to Christ, have not repented of their sin and trusted in Jesus, who still think that they're a good person and might be doing all these good things just to be seen of you and to be seen of others. But that's not what it's about, Lord. It's about living that way. It's about having that heart. So give us that heart. and open our eyes to see what you see. Break our hearts for what breaks yours. And in all things, Lord, may you be glorified now and forevermore. In this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on this edition of Guerrilla Christianity. My hope and prayer is that this time of listening to and learning from God's Word has blessed you as much as it has blessed me putting this message together. And God has also blessed me in appointing me to serve two churches in Salem County, New Jersey, Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn and Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown. If you don't have a church family to call your own and you live in the area, I'd like to invite you to join us on Sunday mornings. We are a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, Christ-adoring faith community in the heart of New Jersey's farmland. Ebenezer meets for worship at 9 a.m. and Hudson meets for worship at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. Of course, if you don't live nearby, get involved with the church where you are. We are not called to be Christians in isolation, but in community. So I would encourage you to live out your faith with a group of like-minded believers wherever you are. Now, if you enjoy this podcast and would like to help support it, please share it with your friends and family. Hit like, leave a comment, and also subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just search for Guerrilla Christianity. Keep learning, keep growing, and I pray you will join us for Guerrilla Christianity again. Until next time, remember this: Christ died for you. Now go live for Christ.